Welcome aboard the Captain's Log. Dr. Dollar and Kelsey are back. We are going to be talking about some boobies today, in a good way though, because we're going to be supporting obviously the month of National Breast Cancer Awareness, and we have a lot of good questions. Doctor, you came up with some good ones, but we did get a good few good emails, huh?
Yes, we did. We got a lot of emails. Remember, a lot of email, a lot of DMs, a lot of text messages about different questions about the breast cancer, both in women as well as in men. Did you know that 1% of men of breast cancer occurs in men?
I know that because you text that to me.
Right. And
so, yes, I do. I said, wow, I'm shocked. We have to talk about this.
Quick learner. Brian, it's something else.
I'm telling you, who needs to go to medical school when I have Dr. Dollar in my back pocket?
He'll get a diploma by the end of the day. You know, it's like professor.
He sends me the info. I'm like a sponge, doc. I'm like, I absorb
everything.
I just bring it in.
Amazing.
It is.
We're going to be really good at trivia night from now on.
Oh, my God. So listen, what are you doing, Kelsey? Holding the on-air sign or live?
We're live on air.
In case you didn't already know, this is a reminder.
And that's just not a sign. Hold that up for a second. Let's see a sign.
Love it.
I got tricks, baby. I got tricks.
So we got a lot of questions.
Let's hear the questions. We got to get these out. People are ready to go. Hey, okay. Anna.
Is being overweight a risk factor for breast cancer?
Beautiful. So we got a lot of questions about different risk factors, and we'll talk. We'll answer all the questions. So the quick
being
answer,
overweight's a risk of me not dating. That's a risk.
So being overweight is a significant risk for breast cancer.
Okay.
So a couple of things. One, if you're overweight, if you had breast cancer and you're overweight, you increase your risk of recurrence of breast cancer. And if you're overweight, postmenopausal overweight, you increase your risk of developing breast cancer. So just, you know, for the statistic, Brian, breast cancer is the most common cancer among women.
Wow.
200,000 Americans are diagnosed every year with breast cancer. Significant. The good news is that the cure rate is quite high, and the 5-year survival is about 75%. And more women die of lung cancer than of breast cancer, even though lung cancer occurs much less than breast cancer.
Wow. So why is it if you're overweight, you're more at risk? Is it hormonal or what is it?
Most likely it's multifactorial. Hormonal is one of them. Testosterone is being converted in adipose tissue, in fatty tissue, to estrogen. A lot of breast cancer has estrogen receptor. So we think that it has to do a lot with estrogen. Later on in postmenopausal years.
That's very interesting. Kelsey, what do you got for us?
Okay, so we're just going to talk about risk factors and what we can do to decrease our risk for breast cancer, right? So exercise. Is there a specific exercise you recommend to decrease someone's risk?
Right, so study after study showed that, and we talk about it in all the podcasts, there's nothing better than exercise. Exercise is extremely important.
Although you don't like me riding my bike. Last week, I wasn't very happy about that. So it depends on the type of exercise.
So exercise is extremely important. There is a study that showed that 5 hours exercise a week. And when I talk about exercise, I mean your heart rate really has to go up. You have to sweat. So an hour, you know, 5 days a week, high intensity exercise will decrease.
So not just reaching your Fitbit goals, right? Not just doing the 10,000 steps a day.
Absolutely.
Actual exercise.
Absolutely.
You have to break a sweat.
You have to break a sweat. Now, do you have to join a gym? Not really. You can do, this Saturday I did gardening. I was sweating like crazy. My heart rate was 120. It's hard work to do gardening, so you don't need to join, you know, Gold Gym. You can do it at home. You can do push-ups and lifting and whatever you want, jumping on boxes, going up and down the stairs. But
it's physical activity. That's
physical,
the key.
It's
physical. You're
going
to bring the heart rate up to 120?
120 to 140.
120 to 140. And bike or running? Koba wants to know what's better, the bike or the running?
So, you know, when it comes to running, I like, you know, short distance running. I don't like long distance running for one reason. It will increase your cortisol level, your stress hormone. So that does affect
for
the long distance. The short distance, 200, 400 meter dashes. So if spring training, right. So if you go to the gym, for example, go on the treadmill or go run outside for 400 meters as fast as you can, come back to the gym, lift some weights, go back and run another 200 meter, come back to the gym, jump on boxes, do whatever you want. So 400.
Jump on boxes, is that something? Is that a real popular exercise?
Absolutely. Oh, loving it. Oh my God.
You love the jump on a box.
Oh, it's fantastic.
That's nice.
Oh, it's Kelsey, you do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Brian, you need to do that.
I need to do
that. I mean, seriously, what are you doing?
At the gym.
I break up the boxes and they're flat, and then I tell them to put them in the dumpster.
Cardboard boxes.
Oh, what kind of boxes?
These are wooden boxes.
Oh, you're talking about this? Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you meant you needed
to. Like a kid, he wants to jump on boxes.
Go get some cardboard boxes or something. I didn't know what you were doing.
Oh,
you had me, Doc. You had me on boxes.
Surface that you
Maybe I'll try that one.
It's fun. It's a great exercise. Watch your knees and soft landing on the boxes.
Well, that's a big thing too, is comfort. You know, a lot of people cannot run because of the impact on their joints, their knees and their ankles. So biking is a really good alternative to get your heart rate up, because you're not going to stop biking because of knee pain.
Absolutely.
So that way you can actually get your heart rate up. Because I stop running because things start hurting. You know?
Rowing is great. Biking is great.
Swimming
is amazing. Awesome. Nothing better than swimming.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about alcohol intake?
Say it again. What's the question?
How does this affect breast cancer?
Excellent question. So a huge study from Europe that showed that they compared people. So everybody drinks in Europe. So everybody, they took the control was people that had one drink a day. And they compare one drink a day to two drinks a day to three drinks a day. So women that drank one drink a day versus women that drank two drinks a day. If you had two drinks a day, you increased your risk of breast cancer by 4%. If you had three drinks a day, you increased your risk by 6% versus the control that was one drink a day. So if you have one drink a day, it's okay. But if you have
the more
you go up, the higher your risk. Now, if you have certain, you know, genetic conditions like BRCA, that we'll talk about it in one of those questions, BRCA or anything like that, these are people at a high risk for breast cancer, maybe you should avoid alcohol altogether. But again, the less you drink, the better off you are. Again, if you drink it for social events, but don't drink it because it's good for your
health. What should we drink?
So it depends on what you like. I mean, again, it's a social drink. So if you like a glass of red wine, drink red wine. If you like scotch, drink scotch. But again, moderation, the volume has to be right, and the event has to be right. Don't sit down at home by yourself and have a drink. You know, do it as a social
interaction.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, so exercise, minimum
rum,
alcohol.
Anna, for you, yes, rum. And guess what? Captain Brian's Naples Port Royal Rum is coming very soon, December 1st.
That's right.
Thank you for introducing that. That's right. My new rum is coming out December 1st.
Oh, my God.
And hey, guys, if you...
That was a plug. Brian plugged into his own...
Hey, she said she wanted rum, so I just give her rum.
That.
By the way, if you guys don't know that, you can like, share, post your comments below. We're also on a podcast. You can find us anywhere you download your podcast. And we do this every week. I do it daily. And the doc is my co-host every Tuesday with Kelsey as our sidekick.
I'm the sidekick. I have a title now.
You know, again, breast cancer, Brian. We know, every one of us knows somebody that was affected by that.
Yes.
Either a family member, a friend. It's a devastating disease that we can... One, we have a lot of things that we can help women to prevent, and we'll talk about some of these things throughout this podcast, and how to diagnose it correctly, and who to see, what to see, etc.
Is there any foods you can eat to decrease your risk?
Very good question. So again, healthy diet is extremely important. We talked about it throughout.
Cheesecake.
Mediterranean.
I love a good cheesecake.
So low-fat Mediterranean diet is extremely, extremely important. I think one of the question I was asked about, olive oil. Right.
Yeah. Oh, olive oil, yes.
Olive oil and breast cancer.
Is it true that olive oil consumption is linked to lower risk?
Yes. So there is a study from Spain that they follow several thousand, remember, 3,400 women. And they had two groups. One group that had just regular Mediterranean diet, and another one that had Mediterranean diet plus high level of olive oil. And the women that had the higher level of olive oil had decreased risk of breast cancer. So again, this study is still, even though it's 3,400, it's not enough to draw a conclusion. So olive oil is not the key for prevention here, but olive oil overall is very good for you.
What's better, olive oil or avocado oil?
completely different.
It is.
So, yes, but, what do I know? But again, from taste-wise, cooking-wise, and everything else, olive oil, in my opinion, we use olive oil in everything.
Okay.
We make cake with olive oil. It's called olive oil cake.
Yeah,
in Italy, that's
cake,
what they do.
Sure.
Olive oil cake. So instead of butter, you use olive oil. Delicious. I enjoy olive oil. I like olive oil as is.
Very interesting. Yeah, we're going to go get a shot of olive oil. Here we go. Let's go.
What about processed foods? Right. Is there a link between processed foods and
Yes, breast cancer? Another great study that showed that there is a link between processed food and breast cancer. And the link also is also how much processed, what we call ultra-processed food. You know, processed food is bad for you. And how do you know that something is ultra-processed food? For example, things that have expiration date that is 20 years from now, obviously it's ultra-processed food. You understand
absolutely.
That? If you look at the box of one of these cereal and the expiration is the year 3024, we have a problem.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
because
that's
how
not
can
natural.
It last?
Come on. Exactly.
It cannot be good for you.
And they all have soy in them. And soy, for me, is the killer.
Sure.
So I don't do any of those packaged stuff. You can't have it. It's all bad.
And again, there are some studies talking about soy. We'll talk about it in a second. So soy has more estrogen level. And we talked about that before when we talked about testosterone. Even though there is no good study to show that soy is specifically bad for you for breast cancer, I would encourage women that have breast cancer or have a strong family history of breast cancer to lower their soy level overall. But again, when it comes to processed food, so those studies show that people that take ultra-processed food, food that, you know, has a shelf life of 3-4 years, food that has significant amount of food coloring in it, those patients are at increased risk of breast cancer.
Next question, Kelsey. Moving along, girl. Moving along. Here we go.
Are there any drugs we can take to prevent breast cancer?
Absolutely. So there are two family of drugs that we can take to prevent breast cancer. One are what I call the tamoxifen of the world. These drugs work on the receptor of the estrogen. Most breast cancer has an estrogen receptor in it.
Doc, you lost me.
I lost you in the.
Yeah,
I lost you.
Way
hello.
Too medical.
I lost
right
you.
Now.
Hello.
You
hello.
Lost.
Okay. Let's
you
go
got
back.
Me in boobs. You Sorry. Lost me after that. I'm done.
So we'll make it very simple. So there are two type of drugs. Tamoxifen is one of them. This is the general population, and it blocks the receptor that makes the cancer grow. And there is another drug called Arimidex, and that blocks the conversion of testosterone to estradiol. To make it very brief, in certain patients, we have drugs that will cut the risk of developing breast cancer by about 50%. Now you're going to ask me, Brian, and ask me, please, why not everybody would
Doc,
take this
drug? Doc, let me ask you a question. Why would every woman not be taking that drug?
Very good.
Yeah.
So every drug has risk and benefits. There are side effects of drugs. So some of these drugs called blood clots, and some of them cause hot flashes. And again, this is a discussion that you should have with your doctor.
Novodex,
right. So some of these drugs have side effects that you need to talk to your doctor whether the risk outweigh the risk and benefits. The benefits outweigh the risk of this drug. But
so
some
the
women
drugs are stronger. You don't want to just go on these drugs, or you really can't just to maybe.
Right.
Prevent getting it. But are there any vitamins that you can recommend to lower breast cancer risk?
Yes. So there are several studies on vitamin D. So increasing your vitamin D will decrease your risk of breast cancer. Increasing vitamin D will decrease your risk of breast cancer. Now,
what about for guys?
For guys, the one because it occurs only in 1% of the breast cancer, I would assume that it's also true, even though there is no study about that.
Right, because it's just not that prevalent.
Well, not that prevalent. There's no money to do a study on not that. But again, vitamin D is important. I would encourage people to take, and I would encourage them to take higher level than they normally take in the multivitamin. So normally in multivitamin, you have about 400 international units. I would recommend to take between 800 to 1,000 international units of vitamin D. Now, again, you and I, we talked about sun exposure. Sun exposure is extremely important. I know every dermatologist is going to listen to this podcast will say, well, no sun whatsoever. Sun is really bad for you, skin cancer, etc. 15 to 20 minutes of unprotected sun exposure is extremely important for your bones. extremely important for your health, extremely important for your well-being, extremely important for
depression. But you get that much just on a daily doing anything.
You know, today everybody is well covered. Then you put sunblock on. You really don't need see that. You, in your car, you have all these protective windows that, nobody can see Brian from outside. You know, people are all the time looking, what that
that's
car with the black windows.
That's because I don't want people creeping
up on
me.
Why are you antisocial? Why are you so antisocial? Have the window rolled down.
I need to be a little privacy in this car, you know? So, it's the captain's edition.
We don't get too much sun. Now, again, being a captain on a boat, sure, you get plenty of sun. But most of us, you know, I get to work, Kelsey get to work, we are at 5 o'clock in the morning, it's dark. When we leave, it's dark. We don't get too much sun. Look at Kelsey, I mean.
You gotta let this girl out, Doc.
She's whiter than white.
You gotta let her out. Let her run around a little bit. Jeez.
We have that fluorescent light on the face.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right, Kelsey, what do you got for us? These are all Doc questions. For me, I got nothing. I'm just too technical here.
Screening. What's your recommendation for screening?
Very good. So
I screen often. This is a good one. I like to screen, but sometimes I don't really know what I'm screening for.
Right. So again, there's no consensus. I want to make it sure that everybody understands. There's no consensus for screening for prostate cancer or breast cancer. What you need to have is a discussion between the patient and the doctor. My advice to every woman to have a mammography, first mammography to have at the age of 40. And then every year after that, once a year to have mammography done, screening mammography to be done every year. Now, the American Cancer Society says start at the age of 45. The U.S. Task Force for Prevention says start at the age of 50. I don't really care. I don't work for them. I work for my patients. If I can prevent one breast cancer out of 100,
absolutely,
it's worth it. It's absolutely worth going to get mammography.
And they have the mammography bus. You know, they have the pink bus and they'll do breast cancer
absolutely.
Screening right there.
Really?
Yes, you can do that. And there is no reason not to get mammography.
It's
no
better
reason.
To catch it early. That's the problem with cancer.
And it's not invasive, right?
Well, it's not fun. Yeah. So having mammography, and I think one of our audience asked us that question, you know, why it's so uncomfortable to have mammography.
Right.
The reason it's uncomfortable because you have to squeeze that poop all the way down. So the bigger the breast, the more squeezing you get. So you get a lot, you really have to pancake that breast down to be able to see everything because it's an X-ray.
Yeah.
So,
that's the X-ray or that's the actual feel of the lumps?
So, no. You do your own breast examination.
Okay.
But the idea of mammography is screening mammography is when you don't have any lumps, when you don't feel anything, you do screening mammography. Because if you feel a lump, it's going to be a diagnostic mammography. It's different than screening mammography.
See,
screening
I didn't know this. I'm learning something today.
Screening,
but again, like a sponge,
getting the
I'm
diploma
taking
at
it
the
in.
End of the day.
I'm taking it in.
So again, we press on the breast hard so we can see everything as much as we can. I think we had one of the audience ask about the difference between digital mammography versus analog mammography or regular mammography. Right. And that was one of the questions.
And they do the 3D now, yeah?
They
or
do
4D?
The 3D.
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 Yeah.
I mean, you have 4D when you do for babies.
Yeah.
You know, the but when it comes to digital mammography, the X-ray itself is the same X-ray. So it's an X-ray. The same as when you look at something on your computer that you can magnify, you can, you know, zoom in. Same thing with digital mammography. You can zoom in and you can make it the picture darker or lighter.
Yeah.
So you can see, you can diagnose better cancer.
Wow.
So they're looking.
So ladies, if you need to get that done, make sure you don't wait, right? How long should you?
Again, start at the age of 40, once a year, get your screening mammography.
And is there any change in whether you can see or detect breast cancer on screening easier or more difficult with women who have lower breast density or fibrotic breasts or smaller?
So the more dense, and I'm going to say that for Brian's sake, because he does not understand the difference between dense and
non-dense. Is that like big or small?
No. Size really has nothing to do with that. But most younger women have more dense type of tissue versus more fatty tissue. So the fattier your breast, the easier it is to diagnose cancer. The more dense it is, the more connective tissue, the more fibrotic it is.
So
the more
muscular, right?
The more, not muscular, there's really no muscle there, but connective tissue in the breast, the more difficult it is. So women that have more dense breast tissue, it's more difficult to diagnose.
Because and, difficult to differentiate between
Between cancer and benign to cancer. That's correct. That's absolutely right.
Wow.
So, sometimes you
mind blown.
Sometimes if you do the screening mammography and it's uncertain or probably benign, that's when people do further screening.
Correct.
That's the difference.
Right. So if you do a screening, it's an uncertain, you do further, you know, more diagnostic, you can get an ultrasound, you can get an MRI, but you start with a screening mammography.
Should guys get mammography done?
Very good question. So every guy, so excellent question for guys. So we have several patients in our practice, 6 or 7 patients right now that have breast cancer or had breast cancer because we cure them, all of them, from breast cancer. But guys should also have their breast examined once a week. It's easy. I do testicular examination once a week. Ryan does it every day.
Yeah.
But, right, Ryan?
I try.
Every day.
I try. I don't know what I'm looking for, but I'm still looking.
Examination once a week and a breast examination once a week. And you know your body, women and men, you know your body better than anybody else. You need better than your doctor. Better than, when you feel anything abnormal, go see your doctor. Talk to your doctor. Talk to your practitioner. See, okay, I feel something. It wasn't there. That's abnormality. We don't like change. I always say politicians like change. We like status quo. No
That's
change.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. Yeah.
If Brian and I will ever run, we'll never run because they'll find a lot of
They'll play them backwards.
A lot of skeleton in our closet. But let's assume that we'll never. If we ever run, our bumper sticker will be no change.
Yeah.
Right?
Zero.
No change.
Zero
right?
change. No money, no change.
No, nothing happens.
Just like we get for this podcast.
That's
nothing.
Right. Nothing. Nothing.
This is just for you guys.
That's right.
What about people with breast implants? Is it make it difficult?
God bless them.
It is more difficult to diagnose breast cancer. That's like right here. It's more difficult to diagnose breast cancer. It's more difficult to treat breast cancer, but it is what it is. I mean.
Why and is it more difficult to treat?
It's more difficult because you have that implant. If we have to do mastectomy or lumpectomy, you have to be careful not to puncture that that implant. If you have to do a mastectomy, you obviously have to remove that.
Does getting breast implants increase your risk for breast cancer?
No.
Okay.
It certainly increases your dating libido.
With Brian.
I think it does. I think so.
With Brian.
Anything else that you guys got?
Well, I mean,
ooh,
you
control,
have the questions.
Birth control pills.
Kelsey, I mean, seriously, Doc, she's got to pull her
I'm
weight on this.
Keeping you on your toes, going out of order.
She's got to pull her weight on this podcast today. I mean, seriously,
this is the
Kelsey.
Last one. Link
you're firing questions, girl. That's your job.
Birth control pills.
Birth control pill, yes. So there are studies that show that birth control pills, specifically birth control pills that have both estrogen and progesterone, increase your risk of breast cancer. But the moment you stop those breast control pills, your risk become the same after 5 years, the same as the normal population that never had breast birth control pills. Again, another reason for your husband to get a vasectomy and for you not to take birth control pills.
You're not a big fan.
I'm a big fan of vasectomy. Guys, we need to take responsibility here.
Yeah.
We cannot just assume, okay, women are going to take some pills that cause some harm. Get a vasectomy, move on, don't worry about it. You're done with having kids, make it final, that's it. You know, there is a time and place to have kids. I love kids, I have 2 kids, I'm blessed. That's it, it's enough is enough. I know you feel the same way, Brian.
I have the same thing. Yes.
I know, it seems like a very common question is, are you on birth control? You know, guys ask that question, are you on birth control? Women should be like, have you had a vasectomy?
That's right.
They should start saying that. That's
sure.
right, Kelsey.
We're
I think you should start
movement.
This movement.
Right.
I think you should go out
right.
tomorrow and start polling everybody.
Vast 2.
Yeah.
There's Me Too, there's Vast 2.
That's
there will
right.
be some movement
That's
like
right.
that.
That's right. Yeah. Anna says, just cut it. Done.
Yeah. Oh.
Call it a day.
No, but guys really have to take responsibility here. It's very, very easy procedure. It takes me 15 minutes in my office.
Yeah.
No reason not to have it done. No reason to say, okay, to your wife, she has, or your girlfriend, that she's going to take birth control pills that cause harm.
Amen.
Yes.
Those are all the questions that we
Those are our questions
with.
For the
yeah.
day. So, Doc, what do you feel about our discussion today?
You know, I feel very positive. I feel very positive about what you're doing because this is delivering value that is extremely important. You know, going to the doctor today is a big deal. A lot of patients cannot afford it. One, they don't have the time. They cannot take time from work. They want to know more. This is this venue. You know, your podcast gives them all the information, all the questions that they wanted to ask, and either they were embarrassed or they couldn't find the right answer, or there was no common sense because you have to read like 17 papers to know one word that I tell you, hey, being lean is important, exercise is important, you know, vitamin D is important, how much vitamin D? You don't need to read a 17-page dissertation to know that answer that is so quick that you get in your podcast.
We also don't bill your insurance.
And it's free. And it's free listening to Brian is free.
Yeah, what are you
What else costs money? Everything in the world costs money.
Just for that, you should tag, like, share it. Shelly says, have you had a vasectomy? That's her new go-to move. That your new pickup question?
I love it.
I like it. I love it. By the way, that's great.
Right. So, I encourage your audience to share this with their friends because, again, it's a...
And if
it's
you know free. Somebody who needs this information, yeah, definitely Ooh. Drop their name in the
or
comments.
Or if you have a topic recommendation.
Yes. Right. Topics are really good. Of course, yeah, we get those automatically. But, of course, if you have something on the tip of your tongue and you want to message us and you don't want to put it in the comments, you can DM us the questions because we get a ton of those all the time. And this is the Captain's Log with Kelsey and Dr. Dollar.
Live on air.
We are live and we're done for the day. But, guys, we're tune in tomorrow. I have Kay Vaughn going live with me at 8:30. Then I have, oh my God, I have Nick Swartzen on Thursday. You guys know him from like every Adam Sandler movie. And on Friday, it's going to be Chef Gearson cooking with the Captain. So tune in.
What a week.
I know,
oh my
guys,
God.
I got to make moves.
You're on fire,
baby.
Brian.
I'm making
fuego. Do you tell people when you're hanging out with me again, or is that a surprise?
No, I don't tell anybody anymore. It's total secret, Kelsey. I'm so not telling anybody, Kelsey. Stop trying to get all this airtime.
Okay.